situations.
Dirty exterior? Don't scrub it. Wet it and forget it. Wet and Forget, the easy outdoor cleaner. Wet and Forget works over time with Mother Nature to eliminate unsightly black and green stains on the exterior of your home with no scrubbing, power washing, or bleach. Use Wet and Forget on all your outdoor surfaces, including decks, siding, roofs, and patios. Wet and Forget's available in a concentrate or extreme reach hose end. Purchase Wet and Forget in store or online at Lowe's, Menards, Ace, or Walmart.
This hide and seek isn't a kid's game. Find the medallion and become a legend.
Win over $4,000 in cash and prizes playing hide-and-seek.
KVOE's hide-and-seek.
Validate your hunting license at sponsor locations beginning July 11th and register for a $50 gift certificate from each sponsor or $50 in cash. Then on August 1st, listen for a daily clue weekdays between 6 and 10 a.m. leading you to the hide-and-seek medallion. Return the medallion to the KVOE studios to claim the grand prize.
Over $4,000 in cash and prizes.
Must be 18 by July 1st. Complete rules available at the KVOE studios or online at KVOE.com.
Hide and Seek.
Brought to you in part by Norfolk Iron and Metal, Brown Shoe Fit Company, Next Tech Wireless, and KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM, live and local.
KVOE 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, live and local. This is Newsmaker 2.
And at 8:25, Newsmaker 2 time here today, we're pleased to have with us Hank Osterhoff, the director of Kansas Free for Arts, the director of Pathway to Everywhere, and we're going to be touching on both of those topics here today. But we're starting with Kansas Free for Arts because, as Hank mentioned a few months back, Capital Campaign is pending. The Capital Campaign is here. Hank, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you this fine morning?
We are doing well here so far. So we were talking just a little bit about how busy you've been the last 2 to 3 years. And in a way, that's kind of why we're talking about a Capital Campaign right now, which again is underway.
Absolutely. And you know, I think it's funny when radio broadcasters say that I'm busy because I know the world you guys live in. But yeah, it's been a long time coming. It's probably something I should have done a long time ago. But, you know, starting a nonprofit from scratch with no really previous experience and knowledge in the industry is always an uphill battle. But, you know, it's you were asking earlier, I said this is kind of born from 2020. You know, it was a real down year for everybody. For us, we had that small studio space on 7th Avenue behind Brady Optical, and we loved it. It was just such a great little spot. You know, it was kind of our base of operations. We had the open arts studio on one half, which was inventoried with all sorts of different art-making materials that kids could come and use at their whim. Kids of all ages, myself included. And then the other half was the jam studio. We had guitars and basses and amps and drums. And we had obviously had to shut down for COVID. And then even after the restrictions were loosened a little bit, it was basically I could have 4 people in that studio. And as the stay-at-home dad type, that meant I and my 3 kids could be in that studio, and then we are at capacity. So we kind of relinquished that lease in the end of the year 2020, and that was kind of that. So, you know, that was a down thing because obviously we didn't get to have any of our concerts or any of the programming or the studio, and certainly didn't have Halfway in 2020. But I always say that there's a silver lining, and that was kind of the ability to take a step back and really look at the organization as a whole and kind of reconceptualize how it works and try to make things operate a little more smoothly. So that's kind of where this came from.
That's where it came from. We'll get to Halfway in just a couple of minutes, too, because there's plenty to delve into. And that's just about a month away from now, just about here.
Yeah.
So Capital Campaign, how do you have things mapped out? What do you hope to accomplish?
Okay, so I'm looking at this as sort of a relaunch of Kansas Free for Arts, or technically it would be a launch. We never really did a launch to begin with. We just kind of opened up and existed, and there we were.
Here we are, yeah.
So this is our late blooming launch of the organization. So, we just have kind of there's three main goals, really. So we want to get a studio. We want to find a building that we can either purchase or lease on long term. And this has actually been in our plan since day one. It's just something, again, that we haven't really actualized. We'd like to find a downtown building and remodel it into back to similar to what we were doing, but add a lot of other things. Like we're looking to host rentable studio spaces for artists. So just blank studios that you can get weird in and do whatever you want, paint and make music. Yeah. And also possibly, you know, there's a lot of within the community, there are a lot of people within the like ceramics and glass disciplines. So we wanted to create facilities for them. Again, usable facilities that anybody who is interested can come and just use. No Coast Film Festival, which is another fantastic organization and event.
Right.
We're trying to partner up a little bit, and I think they're interested in basically housing themselves also at this location. So they'd have an office there, and then we've sort of collaborated on the idea of creating a video recording studio and us an audio recording studio, and have them adjacent to each other with some sort of like removable partition so we can expand the studio out and do kind of both things in there.
Sure.
So you know, just that's really the major expense is finding a building and remodeling and getting it up to code and all of that good stuff. Of course, the second kind of goal is just funding operations. So I'm looking at this in sort of a 3-year term. I really don't know why I looked at it that way, except for I guess from a budgetary standpoint, it made sense to sort of break it up that way. But so we're looking at just funding our general operating expenses over the first 3 years while we become sustainable and create this new model. And those expenses would include, you know, our building expenses that are outside of purchasing and remodeling. Our salaries, which is the third thing that I'll talk about, but also mostly the programming. I mean, Halfway to Everywhere is certainly an expense. An annual, you know, chunk. If you guys remember, we used to do a free concert every month.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we, you know, when we did that, it was kind of a shotgun blast. I've had artists who were able to, you know, they'd send me a date they were available, and then I would reach out and try to find a room for them. Well, this time around, we have been in discussions with the Granada and the History Center and the Arts Council and the Emporia Farmers Market, and we want to create sort of this rotating schedule of these live concerts. So, you know, we do seasonally, winter, spring, summer, fall. Summer has always been the Farmers Market, and I think we're going to revisit those and go back hopefully next year, July, August, September, and do a Wednesday night Farmers Market show. And then for the other seasons, it would be like, I think of it as like a scale up. You know, you start at the Black Box Theater at the Arts Council with a couple of bands, and the next month you go to the top floor of the History Center, and then the seasonal blowout is at the Granada with a couple of bands. So funding all of those, and then, of course, the studio itself, we do workshops and programs and focus groups and all sorts of cool stuff like that. And we have a pretty solid inventory of equipment and art and supplies and stuff like that, so it includes there. And then sort of the third thing is also, as you guys know, I'm kind of the Energizer Bunny for this organization, and I do a lot of stuff on my own.
Kind of need some help there, aren't you?
Yeah. So, and, you know, it's been a labor of love, certainly, for the last almost decade, and I've always volunteered my time. But I need some help. So we've created some positions that would be director positions. Like there'd be a director of outreach, someone who's in charge of all of the concerts and halfway, and then a director of the studio. And then I would probably still be the executive director, or maybe that's up for grabs. Who knows? If the board decides to kick me out and they're tired of me, we'll see. But hopefully
don't
not.
See that happening.
Yeah, hopefully not. But yeah, that's kind of the gist of it. We're just trying to, you know, steamroll a big launch of an organization as it should be run. And we're kind of, like I said, what did I say, 3 years? It's a 3-year program, and we're trying to raise $3 million.
How much space do you think you would need as your hub location?
Sure.
That you know, with everything that you have in mind here for the studios, the operations side, the partnership here with Kansas Free for Arts, how much space do you think you might need in order to make that happen?
Well, at minimum, I have this sort of really cheesy Photoshop image that I made up, and I'm just basing it off of this sort of standard commercial street business size, which there's, you know, dozens of businesses that are – or buildings that are about 25 wide by 125 deep. Mm-hmm. Most of them at least have two stories.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what I'm working with. I know some have usable basements. I also know that basements are oftentimes just ponds in Emporia, Kansas. I'm kind of working with this bi-level, I call it a shotgun blast. It's a long, straight hall downtown Emporia, you know, space.
Mm-hmm. So at least 3,000 square feet
in
that range.
Right. Okay. Yeah, that's about right.
So do you have levels of giving for your campaign? Do you have that set up?
We do.
How are you going to base that?
We do. So it's not necessarily tiered. I basically have two separate groups. So there's just like most capital campaigns, there's like, you know, large giving, oftentimes business to business. This is what I consider the traditional donation level, and within that regard, I'm basically throwing out what our line items are. Here's what we need. Here's what we're trying to fund, and sort of leaving that open ended, because I don't want to create something that's so rigid that it just is outside of the scope of what someone is willing to do. So for like the larger donations, it's just what are you interested in donating, essentially. Mm-hmm. On a consistent basis, though, the other half is I wanted to create, and I keep saying this, I keep saying a sustainable business model. I want to create something that is sustainable without having to go every decade or so and ask for, you know, a whole bunch of money. I wanted to create, to still have our charitable cause and to be able to offer, nominally priced or free programming to those who need it, but create opportunities for those who can afford to sort of pay it forward. So we're doing like a membership drive as well, but this isn't going to just be limited to when we're doing our capital campaign. We're going to basically operate it all the time. And that's all set up on our website right now. So, you go to ksfreeforarts.org, you can become a member. So it's $10 a month. We have a subscription service that you don't have to think about it. You can go and sign up and get your membership. You can also just pay by the year. So the sustaining member is, it's 10 a month or 100 a year. And essentially you'll get like a card or a number. We're kind of still ironing out the mechanisms of the card. I figure we have until we have a studio to really get it done. But something to where you would get discounts on all of our programming. So, for example, while our concerts are free, I've always had a VIP element. So if you just face value, go buy a VIP ticket to a monthly concert, it's $100. But if you're a member, it's $75. Likewise, coming up, we have Halfway to Everywhere, the VIP tickets for Halfway to Everywhere, which, by the way, we're not calling them VIP anymore. I should probably iron that out. We're calling them supporter passes.
Okay.
They have the same function.
Okay.
So a supporter pass to H2E is $150, but if you have a membership, it's $100. Similarly, we're going to do at the studio, we'll have like a $2 drop-in fee. If you're a member, you don't have a $2 drop-in fee. You'll get discounts on our programs. If it's a $5 workshop for you, it might be a $3 workshop.
Right.
Things like that. We also we're offering an Infinity membership, which is $1,000 a year or $90 a month. And that's basically a laminate that has an infinity symbol on it that gets you into all of our stuff for free. So you can just show your badge and, hey, you've already paid your dues for the year, and you can go to the concerts and get food and all of that good stuff.
I was going to ask about your programming, how you had that priced, because it won't be all free,
right?
You know, the stuff that you have. So
right, so we're going to stay really close to how we had it in the past. You know, the studio was always a free drop-in. And again, we wanted to create some kind of sustainability and value to that. So we want people to still have the opportunity to have free drop-ins. So I think that it'll be something where most days of the week it's a $2 drop-in fee, and then you have access to most of the materials, the jam space. We'll have, you know, really affordable like hourly rentals on our studio space. It might be a couple bucks. Some of our programs, we're creating suites of programs, for example, like a music industry program. So I'll have a class that's 8 weeks, that's an hour a week. You can come and learn about the business of being a band or in the music industry, forming an LLC and marketing and all of that stuff. We'll have open jam sessions, which we had in the past, which will be whatever the cost of drop-in is. Prior to those, we're going to have group improvisational lessons. And then we'll have a recording program. Okay. So basically all of the tools that you can use to hone that craft. And it's sort of a professional development suite of music stuff. And so, again, it's like those range. Like the class will be – the 8-week class is like $100. If you're a member, it's like $50. Weekly things are $2 drop-ins or free if you're a member. So, you know, again, it ranges from like $2 to $100 for a few weeks of courses. Or, you know, again, we're trying to keep it pretty low and accessible to anybody who would want to do these things. And then we're also going to create scholarships for, kids that are in school, whether that's college or in the school district here in town, so that they have an easier access to our stuff.
Hank Osterhead again joining us as we talk about the Kansas Free for Arts launch, the capital campaign launch, which is now essentially getting started here this week. Talk a bit too before we start going into Halfway to Everywhere about how you see, I guess, you know, as we're calling it, the official first launch of Kansas Free for Arts, the official launch as it should be done. Talk about how this is going to, you know, work with the existing partnerships that you have and kind of how you envision this maybe building new partnerships for the arts and entertainment through KFA.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's really strategic partnerships is one of our main tenets of our organizational plan. We feel that if all or as many like-minded organizations are working towards a similar goal, that we can create something that's greater than the sum of its parts. And, you know, that's the whole point of a nonprofit. We're a public charity. We're supposed to be providing services that are enriching the quality of life and, you know, every aspect that we can within our community. And, you know, there are a lot of studied outcomes with arts programming that include educational outcomes, whether it's student retention, improvement in grades. There's all sorts of, you know, like math and science and language acquisition and social studies are all affected positively by immersing yourself in the arts. We most of our programming, especially the outreach programming, we're always going to be doing with partners. And like I'd mentioned, we're working with the Granada, the Arts Council, the History Center, the Farmers Market. You know, we want to make all of these programs a community thing. I mean, that's the goal. So we want to make sure that we're collaborating, also enhancing other businesses with what we're doing. But then also at the very end of the day, it's like the actual organizational structure of Kansas Free for Arts begins at the committee level, which all of our committees are open to the public. So, you know, that's an open invitation for people who are in the community who are passionate about arts or passionate about music or any of these programs to come and have a voice. And so, yeah, we hope that we can really knit those populations and people and organizations together to create something that is, like I said, greater than the sum of its parts.
Well, I know you wouldn't go forward with this if you did not think this was sustainable and would work. Let's talk about, before we get in Halfway to Everywhere, the arts and entertainment industry in Emporia and the surrounding area as it stands right now. Good vibe? I mean, it seems like it's getting bigger and better here.
Well, you made a very valid point. One of my first, like when I basically deconstructed our business plan and I said, you know, I donate a lot of my time, I donate a lot of my services, and I thought, what if I were to hire out and, you know, hire an executive director, and what was this actually going to cost? And the number I got to at the end of the year was like $400,000 a year. Oh, my goodness gracious. And then I started looking at other nonprofit organizations and their budgets. And I'm like, okay, that's really not out there. And then when I worked backwards and started figuring out, is this sustainable? Can I do this with these sort of nominally priced program fees and this sort of structure? And it turns out I can. That was – when I moved here in 2012, that was kind of the challenge. Was I came from a music market and I came from a music industry background, and I at the time had seen sort of this raw potential Like, we have the population, we have student body population, we have the infrastructure. It was just a matter of kind of putting the ball into motion and plugging in the, you know, the puzzle pieces. And I think there's a tangible difference. And I would love to be able to toot my own horn and pat myself on the back and say that I had a big part of it. I don't necessarily think that's the case. But I do think that, you know, our consistent concert productions and Halfway to Everywhere, I think it has helped. And I know just from also being a, you know, a purveyor of rentals and equipment and stuff, I'm getting a lot more requests for stages and sound, and that to me is a sign that you know, the industry is improving, is increasing and growing, and you know, we've got a lot. I think when I moved here, we had pretty much just the Granada and anything that was going on campus. Mm-hmm. And then since, I mean, we've got like two or three bars downtown that are having music regularly. Radius has music in the back patio. Bourbon Cowboys got a full-on stage. I mean, I think that I think people are ready for it. And I said this years past, it was a really hard sell getting the first year festival off the ground because nobody knew what I was talking about. I sounded crazy. But now that it's been launched and people have the experience, I feel like they know what they've been missing. So I think I'm very optimistic about the future of the industry here in town.
Well, and we've noticed too, since First Fridays has started,
right?
The art interest, not only from the public but from the artists themselves, we got people coming out of the woodworks displaying, and we didn't even know were there.
Absolutely. Well, and you, again, hitting the nail right on the head. Like, part of creating this sort of, for lack of a better word, scene. The culture, it has to have both of those elements. It's both community recognition and desire. So you know, you have to have that demand within the market, but then you also have to have the market and infrastructure suitable enough that these professional touring artists, whether they're musicians or visual artists or what have you, feel comfortable in presenting themselves in this market. And I think we're really doing that. And that was, you know, again, that was another thing with KFA is we wanted to invite bands and artists that otherwise wouldn't have come to Emporia, and then make sure that their experience here was top notch so that they want to come back.
Well, it's time to launch into Halfway to Everywhere.
That's
because
right.
You got the bands all set. You're, what, 5 weeks out, I think, from the actual festival itself. So how are things going?
Well, there isn't enough coffee on the planet. I'll start with that.
Not for the two of us, yeah.
No, or hours in the day. But I'm real excited. You know, this year, anything's better than last year. Last year's festival was great, and I know that everybody that attended had a great time. I wish I could say the same for myself. I was just so stressed out. The timing was honestly the killer. I didn't know if I was going to be able to launch the festival until 3 months before, and that was just not enough time for me. And again, you know, I'm kind of a one-man show. Boy, what a stressful time that was. And then the rain, and then the COVID cases started spiking towards the end of the summer, and it was just the perfect storm. But we pulled it off, and, you know, I say if we can pull it off under those constraints, we can do anything. So I'm extra excited this year because I actually got to take my time and do this right and book out long distances and make sure we have the crew and the support to I don't know if you saw me at all last year, but I think I sprinted about 8 miles across.
Not walked.
Steps, yeah.
Not ran, but sprinted.
Sprinted. It was, I changed clothes 3 times that day. So hopefully I don't have to do that this year. I think we've got a really good crew. You know, I've got Corey Anderson is in charge of production. I've told all of my production people, if they even see me touch a speaker, to slap me on that day.
Well, Corey's got it in good hands.
Oh, yeah, and he's got a heck of a slap too. So be sure to leave him to his own devices.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, you know, everything's ramping up. I think one of the maybe coolest anecdotal experiences so far is when I did the official launch on Facebook. I, you know, did my diligence and tried to boost the post. And if anybody's ever boosted posts on Facebook, it's a little bit of a kludgy experience. You're not sure what you're going to get.
Yep.
And sometimes they do it right away, and sometimes they say, oh, we're going to put this out for approval. Well, I posted, and then I was watching all of the interactions happening throughout the day, and I was just blown away. I'm like, wow, this $5 I put into it's really working. And 24 hours later, I'm looking at it, and it's like, wow, we had 30,000 views, and we had over 1,000 engagements and like 700 comments. And then it wasn't until a couple hours later that Facebook says, your ad is now approved. And I said, do what? I got that organically? So I was a little beside myself thinking how just one little old post made such a reach. And, you know, people – I had other concert promoters and festival runners that were sharing, and, man, people are excited about the lineup. It was a buzz, and yeah, it really made me smile. So I'm always excited about putting concerts on, but concerts are always more fun when a few thousand of your best friends show up too. So
makes a big difference, doesn't it? It really does. It really does. Well, let's talk about who you have coming in. Talk a little bit about your lineup.
Yes, I am super excited. So our headliner is Too Many Zoos, and they're a really popular act. Anybody who's familiar with them, that's been the biggest feedback I've gotten is, oh my God, Too Many Zoos is coming to Emporia, Kansas. Do I get my tickets? And I say, hey, good news, you don't need to. Just show up.
Yeah.
I was turned on to them because in my touring years, I was in like a punk rock bluegrass band. And every time we went to a new market, we would busk on the street just to kind of drum up some interest in what we were doing. And we hand out stickers and stuff and say, hey, we're playing at Hody's Half Note tonight or whatever. Well, they had a viral video where they're busking in the subway in New York. And so actually several of their videos are like, there's one that I really enjoy where they, I think it says 4 a.m. at Grand Central Station, and they're playing on the deck, and then the train comes, and they walk in the train, and they're still playing, and now they're playing to everybody on the train, and they get off, and they get on another one. It sounds like electronic dance music, but it's all analog. They call it brass house. So it's a baritone saxophone, a trumpet player, and a guy banging on drums, and it is just incredible.
Nice.
We have Out of Retirement, Scrote Belly, which is members of – before it was Split Lip Rayfield, it was Scrote Belly. And this is like a rock and roll, alt-country, rockabilly, punk rock extravaganza. And they are sort of a cult Kansas classic, and that was the second most. Oh my gosh, I can't believe Scrote Belly's out of retirement. Wayne Godstein, who's in Split Lip, has been recovering from cancer, so this is kind of his big
retirement.
Hello, yeah.
We
got a few bands that have been on in the past. We have Me Like Bees, which is a really up and coming angular prog rock band, or maybe more of an indie rock band from Joplin.
All right.
They were supposed to be on first year, but then they got picked up by I can't remember. It was like My Chemical Romance. I mean, they weren't touring then, but some big band picked them up and took them on tour with them, so I lost. I'm excited about Cuckoo Kangaroo. I found them when my daughter came home from preschool one day and sang about blasting bad guys with her laser eyes. And it's basically these two guys who have the most minimal musical ability that's possible, but they're hilarious and they are really popular with the grade school crowd.
Okay.
So, I have three kids in grade school right now. They're all super excited. They have songs like Get Your Body, Body, Moo, Moo, Movin'. They got All I Eat Is Pizza. They got a song about glitter monsters. They're just,
so these songs will be stuck in your head
forever. Yeah. Forever. I might even sing it at my kids' wedding. You know, that's like it's and they're great. We actually went to see them a year ago at the Andover Amphitheater, and they just hustle. They were singing a song about farting.
Yeah.
And in the middle of it, he had this sort of monologue. One of them was like, Tracy, thank you for hiring us. Tracy reached out and she said she wanted the most professional band. You hired the wrong band, Tracy. So they're a blast. We're going to have them on. We have, I'm going to strive every year to at least put a couple. I'd like to have a lot more than a couple, but a lot of Latin bands on stage. So this year we've got Mundo Nuevo, which is like a Latin jazz orchestra, and then we've got the Cubanisms. Both of these acts are from Kansas City, and they both have like 15 members on the stage, and it's
they are
boogie down bands.
All right,
and then we have some local favorites. We have Saki. I don't know if anybody caught the Emporia's Got. Is it Emporia's Got Talent?
Yeah,
yep.
Saki, I think was the winner, so
great
we
champion.
Got him on. There's like a local grunge band out there called Carving Canyons. They're performing. And then, yeah, similar format to last year. I really liked how we had the stages set up. So still the same three outdoor ones, and then a whole awesome lineup of one-man bands on the Radius patio, and then sort of the Red Dirt Country Roots stage and Bourbon Cowboy. Yep. And then it's like great. It's like a warm-up for the Walnut Valley Bluegrass Festival at the Roots stage. So, yeah, it's
awesome.
It's going to be a great year.
Give us the date.
Oh, that's right. Saturday, September 3rd. That whole weekend is actually going to be a little bananas because...
It will be.
Yeah. So most years, Halfway to Everywhere is going to come on the first Saturday of the month. Sometimes it'll be the last Saturday of August. But for the most part, we'll be partnering with Emporia First Fridays. So, I should mention that Kayla of Emporia First Fridays is in charge of our arts market, all the vendors that are in our parking lot. She kind of manages that. So it's the Emporia First Friday Halfway to Everywhere Artist Market. If that isn't a long enough title, I don't know what is.
Oh, we can find something longer.
Right, I'm sure. So Friday night we'll have sort of an enhanced First Friday because we've got the event going on, but then also the Professional Disc Golf World Championship.
World Championships, yep.
Oh, my goodness. So we're partnering with Dynamic. And on Friday night, they're doing what's called the Dynamic World Fly Mart. So it's kind of like – it's like – H2E Light that we're going to do.
Yeah.
I think it's 6 to 9 p.m. They'll have a bunch of disc vendors in the parking lot going on at the same time as First Friday, and then we'll have there are three previous acts who have all played it halfway before who will be performing on Friday night. We've got All From Nothing, which is a local group.
Yep.
And then we've got Daydream, which is a local-ish group. They're from the city of Kansas City, Wichita, Emporia. And then we've got Recycled Funk, which was our headliner on the KVOE stage last year.
Yeah. Right.
So that'll be a packed house that evening, and having an extra several thousand people in town with the disc tournament, I think, is just going to make, like I said, bananas.
Awesome. Yeah.
Bananas.
Going to be awesome. Okay. Zipping back to our original topic,
sure.
Remind us here about the Capital Campaign, how people can donate, how they get info.
Excellent. Okay. So we are operating the Capital Campaign through the Emporia Community Foundation. We have a fund there. If that's something you're interested in contributing to, of course, since we are a nonprofit and we're doing it through the Community Foundation, all donations are tax deductible. So you can reach out to them and donate however you like. You're also I'm more than happy to field phone calls and emails if you have further questions. The email address is ksfree4arts@gmail.com. Pretty much any way you try to contact us, whether it's through social media or email, I get it. So throw a signal to the sky and I'll catch it.
There you go.
You can also go to our website. In addition to the capital stuff, we also have all of the sponsorship levels for Halfway, which is kind of a separate thing. So if you want to sponsor one of our bands or a stage or get a program, add in the program, that's available up there. But then, as I'd mentioned, we're doing the membership thing as well. So if you don't have an extra building sitting around to donate to Kansas Free for Arts or another $100,000 or something like that, but you got $10 a month and you can spare that one coffee. Then you can go and sign up as a sustaining member or an infinite member, and there are perks that go along with that as well.
There we go.
Awesome. Sounds good. Hank, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Keep us posted on the campaign, and we'll definitely have you in at least once between now and Halfway to Everywhere.
Excellent. I appreciate it. I look forward to
thanks,
it.
Thanks, Hank.
Awesome. Hank Osterhout joining us. It's 8:57 on KVOE.
President Biden continues to recover from COVID. He will test on Wednesday, and if he is negative, he will be back working in person, the White House says. ABC's Terry Moran is there with the latest.
By all the signs, Joe Biden is doing really well. That is the message that his physician, Dr. Kevin O'Connor, at the White House, White House officials, and people like Dr. Ashish Jha, the White House COVID coordinator, are putting out after the president spent a weekend in isolation in the White House, improving significantly.
The World Health Organization is now calling monkeypox a public health emergency.